It's been almost 10 years since Tony Abbott told us that WorkChoices was, quote, dead, buried and cremated. But it seems the controversial industrial regime never really died. In most cases, the agreements struck under WorkChoices between 2005 and 2009 have expired. But some employers have continued to roll them over and to sign up new employees under the outdated contracts. Lawyers call these zombie agreements. Contracts where thousands of Australians are paid less than the relevant award and are denied the usual entitlements and conditions. And it's entirely legal. How can this be? Stephen Smiley is the co-host of the ABC's Daily News podcast, The Signal. It's been investigating these zombie agreements. Stephen, hello there.
G'day, Fran.
Stephen, why is it possible, why is it legal for some employers to roll over contracts struck under WorkChoices and even sign up new employees under these conditions?
Well, essentially it's because when the Rudd government moved to repeal WorkChoices after the 2007 election, they put in place some transitional arrangements, some provisional provisions, which would allow workplaces where they had already, you know, they had recently moved employees onto a new contract that had been written and had been approved by the Work Authority under WorkChoices, to just roll those forward until either the employees came forward and requested that the employer write them again, or that the parties made their way to the Fair Work Commission and agreed on conditions that would pass the new better off overall test. And in the main, those WorkChoices agreements probably would have lapsed sometime between 2012 and 2014. But if that didn't happen, if the employees didn't go to their employer and request the change, or both parties didn't go to the Fair Work Commission, then you can just roll it forward. And I mean, there's no trickiness about this. An employee comes to a new workplace, is given a contract, has the time to read it, and then they sign and off they go.
But it's about awareness. I mean, that would mean the worker, presumably the employer is not so keen to change it back to the award if that's more expensive, as these Australian workplace agreements benefited by and large the employer. So the employee would have to be aware that there's something wrong with this.
That's right. And in the main, these
contracts... And how do they become aware?
Well, I mean, that's a big question, right? And I guess that the minister sort of is suggesting, the Minister Craig Laundy is suggesting that that's something that that employers and employees both need to just be more cognizant of, and workers need to sort of keep themselves abreast of what they're entitled to. But you're right. I mean, in practice, a lot of workers don't understand what the award is, don't know where to go look for it, don't know what sorts of penalty rates they could expect, particularly if you're, you know, straight out of high school or you're on a visa and which has some sort of working requirement and you just need to get a job. And people in those situations are actually the most likely profile of someone that gets stuck on one of these so-called zombie agreements.
And how many people are in this position? Do we have any idea? I guess we can't know because we don't know who's on there.
Well, this is an interesting question. So there is a database kept of workplace agreements, but apparently that there are still agreements on that database that are no longer in force, and then there are some that have, you know, that are. But the government...
So this was a database back at the time of WorkChoices. They had to file these agreements.
Well, the Work Authority had to look at some of these agreements, and they applied a fairness test back then, which was quite different to the fairness test that we have today. But the answer to your question, how many of these are there, is we really don't know. Lawyers estimate there are thousands of agreements, and on any one agreement, there might be thousands of employees. So on The Signal, for example, we had a look at the case of the On The Run service station in South Australia. That is one of the largest private employers in the state of South Australia. And in that case, there were 3,250 employees who were on an agreement that had been written back in 2007, were supposed to have expired in 2012, but just rolled forward.
Okay, let's hear from one of those workers who, he goes by the name of John in your podcast, not his real name, I think, from On The Run. Let's have a listen to him.
I actually had a master's degree in business administration from the University of Wollongong in Australia, and I had a lot of experience too. So my role would start from 12 at night to... 7:30 or 8 in the morning. The job was like managing the store, the subway, the coffee, you know, serve the people who are coming for the fuel. They paid me 16.76 for the weekdays and 19.18 on weekends and public holidays.
So he was being severely underpaid. Is that correct? Give us a sense of that.
I can give you a sense of what the award would have been. So in John's case, the relevant award is somewhat confusingly called the Vehicle Manufacturing Repaid Services and Retail Award of 2010. So that was written after the repeal of Work Choices. And under that award, if John were not classified as a trainee, and there's some complication around that, as we heard in that grab, but he should have been getting $17.70 an hour during the week, $23 an hour for a night shift, $26.55 an hour on a Saturday, and $35.40 an hour on a public holiday, and he just got those two base rates that he described.
Maximum
he got,
$20 an hour.
Exactly. He never got more than, I think he never got more than about $21.20 an hour, even though he was running this service station in the western suburbs of Adelaide without support, overnight.
So what's happening? Do you aware of what's happening if these people, in John's case, he's been to a lawyer, he's found out that his rights were reduced, he should be owed a lot of money. What happens to the people who have missed out on all that back pay? Can they get repaid?
Well, John's case is interesting, actually, because he only went to a lawyer and did something about it after he'd left that employer. And what's happened with On the Run is that they have, off their own bat, gone to the Fair Work Commission last month and said, look, we want to get rid of these agreements. They have terminated. They have expired. We're going to replace them with the award. So they're moving their employees gradually.
And are they paying back pay to those who...
That I don't know. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Because it's perfectly legal to have these agreements in place. But in the main, in the absence of an employee taking it upon themselves to do that, you just roll forward on this contract and you're none the wiser that you're on it.
So, Stephen, I do recommend you all listen to The Signal. It tells this story really well this morning. It's there ready for you to download and listen to now on The Signal. But what the problem is, there's these thousands, maybe tens of thousands, exactly, people in these zombie agreements. How to get the message out that they might be being underpaid? Is that, I know you've been speaking to the Workplace Relations Minister, Craig Laundy. Is it the government's job? Is it the union's job? Should we put a shout out now for people to go and check their contracts?
Well, we probably should. I mean, this is the question. This is the question that I think this story raises, is that this is not a new issue. This has been around since the repeal of Work Choices. There've periodically been media stories about this. There was a case of workers at Baker's Delight, for example, who were on a Work Choice agreement.
Is it common in the franchises? That's where it's most common?
That's what the Young Workers thinks in particular, that it's businesses that have a franchise model where there are a number of different instruments that employees, at different outlets of a brand are on. And so there's no way, unless you know what to look for, that you can know whether you're on one of these. So I guess, yeah, I would say if you work at a franchise, have a look at the contract, try and work out what the award is that applies to you and work out whether or not you're on the award contract or not.
Just briefly, does the minister say he's going to look into this and try and do anything about it?
So what Craig Laundy says is that the system as it operates at the moment provides an effective avenue for employees to go and do this. So he's essentially saying that he gave the example of a year 10 high school student who'd successfully gone to the Fair Work Commission and got herself off a so-called zombie agreement. And he thinks that that's the best way to go. He says that employees should check up on this, but he's not proposing to change the laws or indeed do an audit so we know how many of these contracts there are out there.
Might need an information campaign. Stephen Smiley, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Stephen Smiley, co-host of the ABC's daily news podcast, The Signal, which you can listen to now in the ABC Listen app or download wherever you get your favourite podcasts. It's 8:25 on Breakfast.